Hi, I'm Mike Martindale, pastor here at the Heights Fellowship. We are so glad that you guys have joined us today. We know that online isn't a replacement for the real thing, but we hope that as you listen to this message, that the Spirit of God would still move in your life. Thank you for listening.
You guys, but I'm comforted in this. I've been told that it's kind of like, you know, you accumulate paid time off, that kind of, well, I get to accumulate speaking time. So if you guys don't mind getting on your calendars and moving lunch back till 2, we'll go ahead and get started, and we'll have you out of here in record time by 1:50 or so. So kind of get my time in. I'm so grateful. By the way, that was a joke if you're new to the Heights. We're not going to go that long. 1:30 tops. I'm so grateful for this series and how it's ministered to so many. Your encouragement, your notes, your testimony about what God is doing in your lives because of that just really blesses us and just helps us to know that we kind of found the sweet spot that the Lord wanted us to be in these last several weeks. I'm so grateful to Cheryl and Jim for sharing their incredible knowledge and heart, not just for people but really for the Lord and all of that. So so grateful to them. I kind of feel like in a lot of ways, you guys are at, you know, dealing, buying a new car or something, and you've talked to the engineer and you've talked to the salespeople and all the pretty people up front. Now you're coming back into the garage to talk to me, the mechanic. But the job today really is to kind of put a how-to into how the mechanic of this renewing your mind thing works. And so that's where I want to speak to you today. And we're not going to get done, but let me tell you, if you go online, theheightsfellowship.org, you click resources, and this week, these notes that you have in your packet of material are already filled out. So all the blanks are filled in, so you have an opportunity to get all of those completed. We're going to get most of the way through, but I doubt that we get finished today. We didn't first hour. I don't expect to this hour either. There's a passage that we've kind of used as our focal point for this series. It's printed there at the top of your notes. Romans 12:2. The Spirit of the Lord writes through the Apostle Paul, "Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Where the real emphasis of this series has been is renewing your mind in the words of God and the scripture and the thoughts of God and thinking His thoughts and speaking His words and getting you to that place. And I shared this first hour. If you watched online, then you know what I'm about to share. I don't like to share this part of my testimony. I haven't shared it in years. But I really felt compelled by the Lord this morning to share that, so here goes. I was raised in the church, became a believer when I was 10, March the 2nd, 1973, Texas Independence Day, my spiritual birthday. And then I went through junior high and high school and learned how not to live. And through that time became you've heard me say I have an angry temperament. My first response is not hurt or tears. My first response is, I want to punch you in the face. And I have an angry temperament. I get mad first. Well, over the course of late high school and into college, I began to address that by drinking. And drank a lot. By the time I was 21 years old, I was a junior in college. And that was, in my estimation, out of hand. Now, it remains to be decided whether or not I was or wasn't an alcoholic at the time, but I had all the symptoms, all the signs. It was coming if it wasn't there already. And several things happened in the winter and the spring of 1983. The first thing that happened was this. One of my dear friends, a guy by the name of Steve Livingston, who's up in Amarillo now, was, dear God, at all places at the University of Texas. And God actually touched him there. And he got saved while he was a student at UT, and God revolutionized his life. Well, Steve came home over spring break and then came home at the end of the semester and began to invest in two of his best friends. One of them was a guy by the name of Bill Fisher that we will call Fish. We still do call him Fish. And me. And The other thing that happened during that semester was that a group of college workers recognized, you know, Martindale's a leader. He influences people. The problem is he influences wrongly. He's using all of his gifts and talents wrongly. Now, I'm a believer. Part of the anger and part of the frustration in life has to do with I'm a disobedient believer. And if you're a believer and you're not living in the Spirit of God, you're not living according to the Word of God, I believe this with all my heart. You are, of all people, the most miserable of human beings alive. Because the Spirit of God in you is like a pit bull that is fighting against the culture of your world that's trying to dictate different terms. It's like a junkyard dog that is fighting inside of you. And you will be miserable. And maybe that's you this morning. I don't know why God wants me to share this, except that it feeds into the message very well. So these guys begin to pray for me. Same time, God's moving in Steve's life. Steve comes home and Fish gets saved. And both of them now turn their attention to me. I am their project. And we're having these discussions. And I feel like, well, I'm their intellectual equal. And so I'll have my debates. We'll have our just because I didn't want to change. I thought I was perfectly happy. I know now I wasn't, but I thought I was. I was lying to myself and I was buying the lie, man. So I decided in end of May, 1st of June, I'm going to start reading the Bible because that's what they're doing, and I want to be able to compete with them at their level, right? By the 5th of August, I had made it all the way from Matthew 1 to Matthew 18. I wasn't reading very fast. But several things were happening. That which I thought fulfilled did not. That's which I thought satisfied did not. And all the partying and all the drinking and all the hookups did not. I'm more and more angry. I'm more and more frustrated. I get home the morning of August the 5th, 1983. And I'm drunk and I'm going to be hungover and I don't sleep. And about 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, I had this thought, oh, well, you hadn't read your Bible yet. So in my stupor, I get out and I begin to read. I'm in Matthew 18. You can find it in your own Bibles, but verse 6 says this. If anyone who believes in me causes one of these little ones who believe in my name to stumble, it would be better for that person that he had a millstone tied around his neck and he be cast into the depths of the sea. And I stopped and I paused over that, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me just as if he was in the room with me. He said, Mike, that is you. You are a stumbling block to so many because the impediment of your life as you try to live in two worlds is causing problems. And this is my estimation of your walk right now. Would be better that you had a millstone tied around your neck and you'd be cast into the depths of the sea just to get you out of the way. And he pierced my heart, man. And so I said, God, I got to change. And he said, that's right, son. A lot of changes. And I made a commitment at that point. I'm walking away from the drinking. I'm walking away from the partying. I'm walking away from all that other stuff. And it cost me every friendship. I lie not. Every friendship I had. But I started a journey. Already a believer, but it started a very genuine, real journey. Now, why do I tell you that? Because the thing that played into that, the kind of critical factor, had to do with the Word of God inside of me affecting me. And my mind was renewed by what the Word of God said and did to me. And so this morning, I speak this truth to you, not as one who just read information and is spitting it back to you. You know, a sermon is about like writing a research paper every week. That's what I've always kind of equated it to. This isn't just information. This is personal with me. I believe this with all of my heart. I recommend it to any one of you guys who might be struggling with it this morning. This works when nothing else works. But it may cost you. It may make a demand on your life that you got to be real honest whether you're ready to accept that demand, but it works. And so this morning, as we jump off into this idea of having your mind renewed, having your thinking rejuvenated, having your thoughts transformed so that your actions are transformed, is a very, very real thing. And there's two principles we need to get out of the way right at the beginning. The first principle is this. There's a battle raging for control of your thinking. There is a war going on right now. Some of you are battling distraction. Some of you are battling sleepiness. Some of you are battling unwillingness. Some of you are battling stubbornness. Some of you are battling pain. Some of you are battling depression. But there's a battle going on right now, and it's ongoing for control of your thinking. The second thought that I would connect to that is this, that Satan, in the middle of that battle, seeks to infect us with his lies. And so by way of reference, I want to start this morning over in John chapter 8. John chapter 8 is a story about religious people, about people in church, about people who have all the opportunities and amenities that go with having been exposed to the Bible and to teaching and to church and to religious people. And Jesus speaks to them, and he speaks truth when he says this. He says, "You don't understand what I'm saying because you can't even hear my word. You're of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning." And here's where it begins to turn into this message for us. "And he does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. And whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies." So Satan seeks to infect us with his lies. He does it by culture. He does it by our temperament and personalities. He does it through experiences. He does all kinds of lying to us. This morning, he is lying to some of you guys, saying, "You know what? You don't need this. This doesn't matter to you. This isn't you. This not your wheelhouse. Not applicable." Some of you guys, he's saying, "You know what? Wait till tomorrow." Some of you guys, he's saying, "You know what? You're not even worthy to hear this. Do you know how bad you failed this week? You don't even need to be here. God doesn't want to mess with you. God kind of thinks like you just need to have your millstone tied around your neck and be cast in the depths of the sea. God doesn't love you." And you're buying the lie, man. Some of you guys are buying the lie that, you know what, it's hopeless. One of the great things that Jim and Cheryl brought to us was this idea that, you know what, there's hope. There's hope. That hope is Jesus Christ. And maybe he uses incredibly gifted, educated, talented people like Jim and Cheryl to counsel you. Or maybe it's to do a medical reset of the chemical structure that's running through your brain. Maybe you need to do that. But there is hope. You need to know that. Satan's telling you there's not. So he's seeking to infect you with his lies. He does that, first of all, by creating confusion. 2 Corinthians 4 says, listen, the devil who rules this world has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. I like that term, blinded the minds. They can't see the light of the good news about the glory of Christ, who is exactly like God. He seeks to confuse. And then secondly, he seeks to disguise. And it kind of follows the idea of confusion. Paul goes on to say he disguises himself as an angel of light. See, here's the deal. And I tweeted this out at some point last week, or tweeting it out this week. I don't know. It's already set up to go out. It says this, that Satan rarely presents himself as sinister. Satan's not going to come to you as an enemy. He attempts to come up alongside of you as a friend, as a practical savior, to come to us and say, listen, yeah, but you know what? You deserve to feel this way. They took advantage of you. You know what? It's okay for you to think that way. It's all right for you to want your own vengeance. It's okay for you to be steeped in your own anger, Mike. Because that's just the way you are. It's all right for you to be offended. Let me help you out with that. So take this action. Have this thought. Hold this belief. Adopt this lifestyle pattern. It's all right. Let me help you out with that. Who are they to tell you otherwise? And he presents himself as your friend. He's anything but your friend. Now, let me give you a kind of a picture of that. One of the most famous stories in the Bible comes out of Matthew 4. Jesus is starting his earthly ministry. He's been baptized, and God has taken him into the wilderness to really focus him down on what's about to happen for the next 3 years. It says that after 40 days of fasting, that Jesus has his first encounter with the liar. And the liar seeks to confuse him about his identity. Listen to what it says. And the tempter came and said to him, if, circle that word, not since, not because of, or not most certainly you are, but if, are you really God's Messiah? Are you really the Son of God? I mean, look at you. You're out here in the middle of nowhere, hungry. You're struggling. You're physically diminished and weak. And that doesn't sound too much like Son of God stuff to me. But if you are the Son of God, let me be your friend, man. Feed yourself. Man, tell these stones, turn into bread. And feed yourself. Self-satisfy yourself, in other words. And Jesus says to him, Satan, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You see, Satan trying to infect him with a false identity. Oh, man, you can't be a Christian and have thought that, have done that, have said that. That was one of the things that I dealt with, because I was saved when I was 10 and lived like hell for 10 years. That's what it was. And Satan was all over me about that. And then I read the verse that the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance over in the book of Romans. And I realized God wasn't sorry he saved me. He was just sorry about the way I was acting. And he was moving to correct that. And I was miserable. But he was getting through. Satan's come to some of you guys and said, you know what? You're not worthy of being loved. You just need to distance yourself. You need to isolate yourself. You need to retreat within yourself. You're not worthy. He lies to you about your identity. Then how about this one? He lies to us about the goodness of God. The next step is Satan takes Jesus into Jerusalem and has him stand at the top of the temple. And he says to him, if you are the Son of God, then throw yourself down, for it's written that he will give his angels charge concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus says to him, you know what, on the other hand it's written, don't put the Lord your God to a test, Satan. Satan comes to Jesus and says, listen, why is this happening to you? I mean, God wants you to be successful. God guarantees that you're going to have all the wealth and prosperity that you can have. So you go ahead and do what you think you ought to do, and God's job is just to get your back and back you up. Because a good God would never let you go through a hard time. A good God would never let your foot strike a stone. A good God would never let evil or trouble or despair befall you. He begins to lie to us about the goodness of God. And Jesus says, don't put me to the test. And the third thing that Satan lies to us about are God's ways. So Satan says to him, you know what? So your deal is that you're going to come and save the world. Well, let me show you something. And he takes him to a high mountain, and he shows him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, it says. He says, all of these will be yours. I will give them to you. If you will worship me, if you will do it my way, you'll follow my lead. Guys, it's true that for the time being, Satan controls this sphere. But it's temporary. He is a squatter on God's field. But he wasn't telling a lie there completely. It's a partial lot. He says, if you'll do it my way. So Satan comes to us, and what does he say? Listen, do it this way. Cut the corner. Take the shortcut. Don't go through what God wants you to go through. Cut it off and go another way. Go my way. Let culture dictate the way you're supposed to feel. Let culture dictate the behavior you're supposed to have. Let culture tell you, listen, this is the norm. This is what is acceptable. Do it my way. Bow down to that. And Jesus says to him, be gone, Satan. You shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Satan seeks to confuse in all of those ways. And I want you to notice something. If you went to Vacation Bible School early in life or Sunday school, if you ever studied this, one of the most famous truths in the Bible is this, that in every point, at every turn in the road, when Satan attempted to infect Jesus with his lies, Jesus responded with scriptural truth. You know what that means? That the key to overcoming this battlefield in the mind is not overwhelming power. Look at what Jesus did. He didn't go all video game. He didn't go all and go get ready to do something. I couldn't do that again if I had to. He didn't become some super transformed. In the first temptation, Jesus is physically weak because he's starving to death. But what does Jesus do? It's not overwhelming power. It's divine truth. It's spiritual truth. Jesus' mind was renewed by the truth of God's word, and he responded in kind, and the lie was defeated not by power but by truth. One of my good friends, pastor downstate by the name of Jason Brown, tweeted this out 2-3 weeks ago when I began to prep this message. And I saw it and I thought, man, that's good. That fits perfectly what I want to say that Sunday. And so if Brown's listening or any of you guys know him, yes, I quoted him. Get over it, all right? Every word of God is tested. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. And JB quotes out, he said, we got to know God's truth and the truth of it so that when the father of lies comes against it, we'll know the truth. You got to be able to recognize it. Proverbs says he is a refuge to those of us who are being assaulted with the lie. And we take refuge in him and in his word. So there are some facts that kind of come into play here. Some things that I'm just going to give you and just going to speak these really fast. The first one is this. The front line of the fight is your mind. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says, listen, from the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, immorality, theft, lying, slander. All of that's derivative from what's going on inside of you. Proverbs 23 says, as you think within yourself, so are you. The front line is your mind. How do we renew our mind? Secondly, it's not a cultural or political battle. It's not us versus culture. It's not us versus the government. It's not us versus anything. It's literally us versus supernatural, satanic, demonic powers. The lies have their origin there. According to Ephesians chapter 6, it's not against flesh and blood, but it's against spiritual forces of darkness. It goes on to say over in 2 Corinthians 10 that we walk in the flesh, but we don't war in the flesh. The weapons are not the weapons of the flesh, but they're divinely powerful. In other words, supernatural weapons for the destruction of fortresses and speculations and lofty things and thoughts raised up against the knowledge of God. And Paul closes that passage in Ephesians 6 when he says, so take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So my testimony is this. That as I began to be immersed in the Word of God, the Spirit of God took the Word of God and affected the thoughts of God in the mind of the child of God. And I was renewed and began to be transformed. The journey's still going on. Don't make a mistake there. 30 years later, the journey's still happening. And so it is with all of us. Number 3, you can control your thoughts. You are not subject to your thoughts. You can control your thoughts. Now, let me give you this scripture out of Romans chapter 8, which says this: for those who are according to the flesh set their what? Minds on the things of the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit on what? The things of the Spirit. You want to change your mind? You want to renew your mind? Set your mind on the things of the Spirit. You can control your thoughts. And the last one is this: you're going to need to be constantly recharged. That's our theme verse. By the renewing of your mind, it says. So how do we do that? How does that work? And there are five things that are listed here. We're going to get through two, all right? They're the two that I really wanted to get to today, so I'll listed them first. We're going to go there. First one is this: if you want to defeat satanic lies, if you want to have a renewed mind, the mechanic of it is this: you got to have an exposed mind. And I'm not talking about that means that you got to go share every thought that you have, that you're constantly tweeting, texting, Facebooking, whatever. Well, this is what I think about this. That's not what I'm saying. That's not the exposed mind I'm talking about. I'm talking about a mind that's exposed to the Word of God. A mind that has that Word of God just being flooded into it. I've had the conversation twice this week with people in my office. Love this conversation. First couple was a couple that I did their pre-marriage counseling. They're on a boat somewhere in the Caribbean getting married tomorrow. Or today. One of those, I'm not sure when. I think it's tomorrow. Anyway, they were saying, do you have some sort of couples devotion? And so I began to question them. Talk to me about what you're doing now. Tell me individually what you're doing. And we began to talk through that. And she makes this comment, which I know this because this is me too. She says, yeah, but when I start reading the Bible, I realize, man, I don't know what this means. I got to stop and study it. And I said, okay, hang on just a second. Don't confuse reading with studying. Reading is all about exposure. Study is all about absorption. Before you can absorb, you have to be exposed. And she said, well, what can I do? And I said, there's all sorts of Bible reading plans. There's one-year Bibles. There's stuff online. You can find, 50 of them if you Google it right now. I said, but let me take you through one. And this, so I want to give you guys a very practical thing. And I don't know what you do. I don't know how you do it. I don't want to infringe or stop that at all. I'm just saying, for those of you guys that have always wanted to start, not really sure how, not really sure where, here's a way. On our website, theheightsfellowship.org, we have a place called Journey 365. In fact, if you look at your Justin notes, we have the website actually printed out down there at the bottom. Let me walk you through this because it's an unbelievable resource that some of our guys put together. So I'm going to be talking to Schnookums in the back. Now, Allison's in the back. I want to talk to her. This is Austin McDaniel's beautiful wife. We lovingly call her Schnookums. So don't, she's probably going to put something bad on the screen and mess with me right now because I called her Schnookums, but we love her. This is the splash page of our website. You go to theheightsfellowship.org, www.theheightsfellowship.org. That's what it looks like. Down there, just kind of below, just across the top, there is a toolbar that says Connect. You click Connect, and this page pops up. If you go down, the very first icon is that one that has a picture of a Bible. You click that, and you are into the Journey 365 page. Here's what you do. This is so cool. I love that we do this. You scroll down after a little bit of explanation to the bottom, and there is a box in blue, I think that is, that says Send Address. See that? You can click in that box, and you can enter your email. See that? Whatever your email address is. Now, if you're a little bit worried about the technology, let me get you to do this. In your packet of material today is a connection card. See that? Looks just like that. Flip it over on the back where there's room to write. If you want me to put your email address in there for you, you write it legibly so that we can actually read it. And give it to us. You can put it in one of these offering boxes when you leave. We'll harvest it. And tomorrow we will enter that. And you will get an email. That email will look like this. Do you have a picture of the email up there? Go, Allison, take me back to my PowerPoint real quick. And I'll show them a picture of my email. Yeah, there it is right there. This was the one I got today. Now, here's the deal. Those are hyperlinked in there. There's four reading things in there. There's a New Testament, an Old Testament, a Psalm, and a Proverb. You can pick all four. You can pick one. You click that link, it will take you to an online Bible, and it will give you the text for you to read. Or, if you're really lazy, it will read it to you. We actually have that. Sean, you guys have that. John, this is today.
Chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God.
Okay,
and the Word was God.
That was day one, but everybody knows that when Jesus speaks, it sounds like that because Jesus only speaks the King's English. But just so you know, last week, I don't remember what day it was, maybe Wednesday or Thursday, I'm in the kitchen about 7:30 in the morning, and I hear a man's voice in the bathroom with my wife. And I'm like, who's in my house and what's he doing in my bathroom? And so I walk back there, and it's my wife putting on her makeup and making herself extra special beautiful. Like, you know, she's already beautiful. She was just, you know, really making herself extra special beautiful. And, no, she's not in here right now. She was in early service, all right? So you guys are going like, where is she? She was in earlier service. She was running late, and she put that on, turned that on her phone, and I'm hearing Max McLean read Genesis 38 or whatever it is to my wife, and it was really, really cool. We're both doing that. And so we can talk about, as a married couple, hey, did you read that scripture out of Matthew 5 today? That really struck me today. We got to have that discussion. It was all about exposure, y'all. And you can read it yourself. You can have it read to you. This is just one idea. This is just one plan. But we try to give that to you guys as an opportunity. Listen, you can read all four of those deals. I timed mine this morning. It took 13 minutes. That's all it took. If Max McLean reads it, it may take 15 minutes because he reads very deliberately and beautifully and enunciated very well in a beautiful accent. But you may say, you know what, I can't do Old Testament. Then just do New Testament. Or just do a proverb. Or just do Psalms. At the end of 365 days, whatever track you do, you will have completed it. And if you forget it for a day, so what? Read it the next day. Start over again. It's all about exposure. That's what happened to me. It took me 2 months plus to get to Matthew 18. But as I was being exposed to the Word of God, God was doing that. The second thing is this. You have to have an occupied mind. Over in Psalm 119, he says, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. We have a couple of ladies who last week got to do something really, really cool. Kelly and Joy, if you guys would come join me on stage. Kelly Archer and Joy Erlob, these are the beauties, the greatness, the godliness behind Jim and Brandon. So now you've seen them, you can pray for them by face and by name. Last week, they got the opportunity to go share something that it took them a year to complete. And I want you guys to hear about this because this is something any one of you guys can do. So go ahead and share.
Well, last January, our friend Amanda Porter, she used to be the children's ministry intern here, encouraged us to participate in Beth Moore's Siesta Scripture Memory Team, and that's something that Beth Moore and Living Proof Ministries, that's something that they offer every couple of years. So we decided to participate together and do that. So what we would do is every month we would choose two verses to write in our little memorization spirals and to register online. And so by the end of 2015, Kelly and I had memorized close to 24 verses. And last weekend, we got to go to Houston and celebrate with Beth Moore and about 600 other ladies all of our scripture work, and it was a really special time.
Last January, when Joy and Amanda approached me about doing this, at first I was kind of like, oh, that sounds great, but I've always just had kind of a mental block when it comes to memorizing scripture. I've tried it before, and, you know, I kind of know where the verse is, but then I can't remember where to find it, and it's been a struggle for me, so I was kind of like, I don't know, you know, if I can do this or not. But one of the things that really made this particular year very meaningful to me as we memorized scripture was that part of it is that we picked our own verses. We picked the verses that really meant something to us, kind of where, kind of met us where we were, kind of where we were on our walk. And I picked the verse on the first of the month, and Joy would pick the verse on the 15th. And so having that personal, picking that verse that was really personal to us, was, I think, was huge. For example, one of my verses is about, you know, because, or in the morning, I'm sorry, I'm nervous. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love. Show me the way I should go, for I put my trust in you. And at that time, I was really going through, I had some different job opportunities, several different interviews, and I was really trying to discern what God wanted me to do and what would be best for my family and for myself. And so I remember that morning, it was the first of the month, and it was my turn to pick a verse. I was really in the Word trying to find a verse that would really meet that need. And that was the verse that I came across. And that verse really carried me through the spring semester of last year as I went through several different interviews, and I would just be able to pray that scripture as I headed to those interviews and things like that. But I think just it being meaningful, and some of the verses that Joy picked also, I saw them in a different way and saw them in a different light, and that made it really personal and meaningful.
Yeah, Kelly kind of said that, but when she would choose that verse, it kind of, God set me up to be able to really use that scripture about show us the way we should go, for we have put our trust in you. We had a plan last year for our year, how everything was going to go. We didn't see anything big coming up. It was going to be just an easy, we were going to cruise through the year, no big deal. Then we decided, well, we'll just move and sell our house. And we did really fast and didn't have anywhere to go. But I'd hidden that word in my heart, the verse that Kelly had chosen. And so God was able to really bring that to life in me. And I was able to even claim that verse over that situation. And God was really faithful in that too. But it was really special for us to get to do it together. That's, I think, one reason that we were successful and able to memorize these verses, is because we did it together and we were able to encourage each other. If I knew she was struggling with something, or same for me, if she knew I was struggling with something, the first thing that we would encourage each other with were some of the verses that we had memorized together.
I think that's one of the things that made this successful. When I talked to Joy about this last week, we kind of setting today up. You know, she told me anything is hard to do for a year, right? One of the things that contributed to their success was they provided themselves with a little bit of accountability or a little bit of encouragement. They had somebody that would say, hey, what's the verse? Or, hey, let me pray this verse over you. Let me speak this verse over you. And so they're in the midst of doing that. But the other thing that made this successful was it wasn't some prescribed kind of box set of scriptures that you memorize. There are plenty of scriptures probably that if you'd say, well, Mike, give me a list of scriptures, I actually have them and I can give them to you. But they're not personal. This is where they're living. This is what they're dealing with. I'm struggling with a job search, or I think God's leading us to move our house and we don't know where we're going to live. And our, one of the funniest ones was, Joy, was it you that was telling me the one about shepherding your children? And, you know, I'm ready to go, you know, go to war with my children, and God's telling me to shepherd them gently. I don't want to misspeak that, but it was something like I was laughing because one of us as parents is like, oh, I'm about to end you right now, you know? And God's speaking into your head and your heart his renewal, his rejuvenation, his word saying, no, you're shepherding my sheep. You're shepherding my children. And this is how I want you to respond. And that affects everything that we do. Real quickly, favorite verses, or the verse that you guys actually had to do this last week. You told us first hour. So what was your favorite verse?
I probably said the ones that dealt with parenting most often to myself. And Mike mentioned one we memorized was from Psalm 127, like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. So I would say that a lot to myself. I don't need to fight with my kids. I don't need to go to war with them, but I need to go to war for them because I am their warrior, and I get to fight for them in prayer. And even for my own kids, I get to cover lies that Satan even speaks into their life with God's truth if I can fight for them. So that was one for sure.
And we didn't talk about this first hour. This is free to you guys. You got to tell them the Annalise story from the video that Brandon showed us. This is so funny.
we're not doing the Siesta Scripture memory team this year, so what we're going to do in our family, I think Kelly is going to do it with hers, we're just going to memorize one verse a month as a family, and we're going to kind of make it kid-friendly, so we'll simplify it a little bit, but we're saying it at our verse at the dinner table, and this month is Psalm 19:14. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord. And at the end, Annalie just says, amen. She's a little preacher girl. Like that.
And I think that's something also to be said is that it's given me an appetite for God's word. Like, I don't want, just because this year's is over, I don't want, I want to keep that practice going. And so now I think something that we can do with our family, and I encourage you, maybe you can do it with your life group or with your spouse or with some close friends. Because I think it really has, it's given me that appetite, and I don't think I'll ever tire of that. And so probably one of my favorite verses is Lamentations 3:22-23, and it says, because of your great love, we are not consumed. Your compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And that's something that is I've quoted over and over this year.
And all of God's people said, amen, amen. Just like Annalie. Thank you, ladies. A hand for them. Like I say, you can complete the rest of your notes online if you're so inclined to do that. Let me just point you to the very, very bottom box on the second page of your notes. That scripture out of Psalm 119 where David wrote this, such a great scripture. I hang on to these words for dear life. These words hold me up in bad times. Yes, your promises do what? They rejuvenate me. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we conclude this morning, there's so much more we can say. But Lord, we have a relationship with you in which you can say that and speak that to us. Lord, I pray that somebody in this room or some in this room have been encouraged to invest themselves in the Scripture. Maybe it's from the testimony, maybe it's from the preaching, maybe it's from the testimony of these two beautiful ladies, Lord, that you have prompted us and encouraged us. This is something that you can do. It's not something that some, you know, super spiritual giant has to do. This is something that any man can do. You long to speak your words over us and in us and to us, Lord, to move us, to transform us, to shape us, to change us, to encourage us. Lord, to give us discernment and correction, all of those things. So, Lord, I pray that you would move us that way. Lord, there may be some in this room who have never trusted you as Savior. That the greatest word of all, the word of forgiven sin, the word of eternal life, the word of a dying God to make a man live, can be spoken into our hearts this morning. There's somebody who right where they sit just needs to respond and say, Jesus, I know I don't deserve heaven. In fact, I deserve hell. My sins have separated me from you. I know that. But I believe Jesus died on the cross. I believe it was for my sin. And I believe he rose from the grave to give me eternal life. So, Lord, I claim that. I rely on that. I lean on that. I put my trust there. I don't have to explain it all. I don't even have to understand it all. But I believe it. So, Lord, change me right now and make me new. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We believe in the power of the Word of God. If you made a decision, we would love to hear from you. As well, if you have any questions, let us know at the email listed at the bottom of the screen. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a good day.